Net Zero Navigator 2024. 11th of June 2026. By Melanie Clark. Source: Mighty Commission survey of 100 respondents at senior manager level and above, with responsibility for corporate sustainability in companies of 1,000 plus employees. Net Zero Navigator 2024 expert decarbonization predictions for the year ahead. These predictions are now a bit old. This was our Net Zero Navigator 2024. But you can find out if we got them right and read our latest predictions in our 2025 and new 2026 version. 2024 Decarbonization Predictions Contributors Forward. Let's be blunt. Decarbonization is good for business. It enables organizations to differentiate and gain competitive advantage. But organizations embarking on the net zero journey have a decision to make. You need to choose who you want to be. You can be a front runner, fast-moving follower, minimum effort organization. While it's acceptable to make changes to your strategy based on regulatory requirements and insights from what others are doing, there are gains to be made from taking a lead. By acting quickly, front runners will unlock cost benefits and investment opportunities. Minimum effort organizations will do nothing more than meet regulations. But no matter what your strategy is, do the following three things. Automate carbon measurement and reporting. Take the work out of carbon reporting by harnessing the power of automation. This area will only grow in complexity, so address this now. Commit to demonstrating the business case for decarbonization. Lots of carbon-reducing initiatives fall by the wayside due to a lack of enthusiasm and funding from senior leadership, plus unconvincing business cases. Dedicate yourself to promoting the benefits, both environmental and financial, to make sure you get the buy-in needed to progress towards net zero. Focus on Scope 3 emissions. The success of decarbonization rests on a three-pronged approach to Scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions. There's no excuse for lack of action on Scope 1 and 2. Reducing them is well within your control. With tighter regulations looming, pay much closer attention to Scope 3 in the coming year to shape net zero plans. Further predictions and advice in the Net Zero Navigator 2024 will help you on your way towards decarbonization. And don't miss the reviews of our 2023 predictions. Decarbonization can be tricky, but you don't have to do it alone. The right partner will guide you towards net zero, no matter where you are on your journey. Introduction. Communication and collaboration are critical for decarbonization success. 2023 was a tough one for those in charge of decarbonization activities. While market conditions may have incentivized change in some organizations, others have been tempted into short-termism and reactive, tactical solutions. To decarbonize successfully, organizations need to measure carbon emissions and use analytics to extract insights and gain progress updates. Manage strategic prioritization of reaching net zero. Message by broadcasting commitments and achievements to heighten impact. All this comes down to better cooperation, cultivating an open and transparent culture with continuous feedback and dialogue rather than one-off PR statements. What we've learned from 2023 is that no one person can change an entire organization. If you get more key people to champion decarbonization within, and if you leverage support from outside parties like customers, you'll have more muscle to keep your organization on the right track. Why recyclable can be a dubious word. Organizations that don't make the connection between the climate agenda and the circular economy are failing to fully address their net zero obligations and shortchanging shareholders and stakeholders by missing out on opportunities. And the proof is in the pudding. Circular economy strategies can cut global greenhouse gas emissions by up to 39%. But the truth is, without tackling Scope 3 emissions, you won't make a dent in your net zero targets. This could involve using digital tools and remote maintenance to make machinery perform better and last longer, avoid breakdowns, save on carbon emissions, looking at embodied energy in the built environment, improve resource management, including reuse and waste minimization. But beware, recyclable can be a dubious word. It may be technically possible to recycle some materials, but it's not going to happen if the facilities aren't available. And often recycled content means merely downcycled or recycled once, which isn't very circular. Look for truly renewable, reusable, or regenerative materials, and be much more aspirational in terms of recycling potential. Biodiversity is also an untapped opportunity. 23 new biodiversity targets were adopted for 2030 at the UN Biodiversity Conference COP15, but it's not on enough organizations' radars and will be a differentiator for those who do put it on their agenda. Carbon offsets have been under real scrutiny, but organizations have the chance to flip the carbon offset problem into a biodiversity offset opportunity. Activities like rewilding are much more regenerative and imaginative. Start thinking about your organization's plans for International Day for Biological Diversity on 22nd of May, 2024. Are you going to appoint a chief biodiversity officer? Will you make a public biodiversity commitment? Make sure you do something and start building momentum. Don't wait until the last minute when you're already way behind. Above all, don't fall victim to green hushing, which is the sneaky and sinister version of greenwashing. It's when organizations attempt to hide or disguise their net zero failings, or simply go quiet. In short, just as deceitful and dishonest as greenwashing, but harder to spot. And don't wait to see what happens over the next year, in Westminster or anywhere else. The clock is ticking for decarbonization, and it's vital that we don't lose the next 12 months. The facts. The UK government has pledged to eliminate avoidable waste by 2050 and recycle 65% of municipal waste by 2035. Scope 3 emissions make up to 95% of an organisation's carbon emissions. 86% of UK adults want more openness from businesses on environmental impacts, activities and goals. 1. Carbon reporting and measurement. Carbon reporting will move beyond mandatory requirements, with automation making it quicker than ever. In 2024, it will no longer be enough to only report on carbon to remain compliant. The problem with mandatory-only reporting is that organizations do it once or twice a year. They record their carbon footprint, and then nothing happens for another year until it's recorded again. It's not enough to make real change. Little wonder stakeholders are demanding ongoing carbon reporting, plus transparency with the results. Scope 3 emissions are indirect emissions that accumulate across an organization's supply chain. These aren't currently included in most mandatory reporting requirements, and there isn't a standardized way of measuring them, but that won't be the case for much longer. Scope 3 will become mandatory and enforceable. So, it's important for organizations looking to make an impact and gain a competitive advantage to start measuring supply chain emissions sooner rather than later. For many customers, the main barriers to voluntary reporting are cost versus opportunity. Many would rather spend the money elsewhere, as they can't see the value in the opportunity. Cost and complexity of implementation. Implementing voluntary reporting across an organization, over all operations and with everyone on board, is complicated and often expensive. Capture and management of data sources across the organization. Organizations need a reliable system that enables dynamic, automated reporting with comprehensive data, giving a complete picture of carbon emissions. There is an increasing need to report on carbon reduction programs as a whole, determining how net zero will be achieved through specific initiatives. But while progress is monitored, tweaking the strategy to reach net zero should become part of the process. Reporting should be less about a snapshot of carbon emissions at any single point over the year, and more about how performance is tracking against the end goal of decarbonisation. My advice over the next 12 months is this. You don't have to roll out automated carbon reporting to your whole organisation on day one. Start with a team, a department, a region, or a function. Not every problem has to be solved before implementing a smarter reporting system. Start small, test your new systems, and iron out any issues that do crop up before expanding. Data will make or break decarbonisation efforts. This has never been more obvious than in the past 12 months. Carbon accounting is becoming as important and time-consuming as financial reporting. Data is critical for this, and to reduce the overhead burden that comes with it, many are now automating carbon reporting. Automation not only saves time and resources, it's also required for those who want to move beyond the yearly, mandatory-only approach to a strategy that is real-time and reaches deeper into their organization. Of organizations say quality and accuracy are their biggest challenges in carbon and energy reporting, the facts. The proportion of businesses that reported taking no action to reduce their carbon emissions fell from 46% in April 2021 to 30% in December 2022. According to a 2023 study, 70% of businesses are not calculating Scope 3 emissions. If the UK is to uphold its commitment to reduce carbon emissions by 68% by 2030, the rate of annual emissions reduction outside the electricity supply sector must quadruple over the next 6 years. 2. Strategy. Organisations that reduce emissions will increase their bottom line. Organisations often fail to invest in energy efficiency due to a lack of understanding of the benefits, rather than a lack of capital. Most customers are thinking, I need to know why I'll do this in the next year or two. I don't want to feel better about it in 10 years' time. I need the benefit now. It's important to understand the cost benefits of ESG investments. Decarbonisation, when viewed as an opportunity rather than a risk, has the potential to improve bottom lines through energy efficiency and generation. Organisations need to see they can drive efficiency without capital expenditure by identifying and addressing inefficiencies in their operations. And to organisations saying they can't afford to decarbonise, the reality is that you can't afford not to. Inefficiencies cost money, so get started by fixing them without huge spend. Meanwhile, there's still time to build up to bigger, more operationally transformational changes. My advice is for organisations to commit to opportunities to improve their bottom line and reduce carbon emissions, despite any political uncertainty. This means continuing to pursue opportunities such as investing in renewable energy, seeking out energy efficiencies, supply chain optimization, and adopting green technologies. Greater clarity will drive decarbonisation confidence more. Commitment to decarbonisation has definitely grown throughout 2023. More and more organisations understand it's not just about changing fuel sources, but that energy use must be reduced. This is a significant step. While there is political noise about net zero, plans to save energy, trim costs, and reduce carbon emissions remain a priority. Of organisations say their net zero strategy has improved investor engagement. The facts: 71% of respondents voiced support for the UK government's commitment to net zero in a survey of 4,000 adults. To reach net zero by 2050, annual clean energy investment worldwide needs to more than triple by 2030. 56% of people would be more loyal to a brand if they could see that it was taking steps to reduce its carbon footprint. 3. Energy consumption. AI will be critical to reducing energy consumption, but some caution is needed. AI's impact on decarbonisation will soar, and that's because it has massive benefits. We're adopting it, and customers are certainly embracing it, but we also have to be aware of challenges in the energy market that are driving that growth. AI can, of course, accurately forecast energy supply and demand, increasing reliability by preventing grid failures and enabling huge-scale digitalization. But AI isn't just something that is there, ready to go. It needs to be developed as it grows, and if we aren't careful, it's going to become a huge drain on organizations' energy consumption. We need the power to fuel this tech-enabled future, and in this we find both a challenge and an opportunity. AI can accurately forecast energy supply and demand, increasing reliability by preventing grid failures and enabling huge-scale digitalization. Providing adequate power for the technology of tomorrow will be difficult to do cheaply if you don't have the right energy strategy in place. So, embracing AI will be critical for reducing consumption, but be sure your organization has thought about how to mitigate the corresponding costs and energy use. Surging demand for on-site solar will create supply bottlenecks. The scenario predicted last year has absolutely come true. There's been a huge acceleration in organizations' attempts to control energy costs and to meet their net zero targets. Those who have put measures in place to better manage and/or generate their energy with solar PV are already benefiting. The rest are scrambling to get things under control. This sudden surge in demand for solar, coupled with both a technology and capacity crisis, means that bottlenecks have started to emerge. Of organizations have implemented AI or IoT technology to gain more insights into energy usage and carbon emissions. Yet one-third of organizations do not feel confident about their ability to predict energy use over the next 12 months. The facts: £6 billion a year could be saved by UK organizations through investment in energy efficiency. 18% of organizations surveyed by Mighty have considered AI to gain more insights into energy usage and carbon emissions, but have yet to take action. £4 in funding for AI solutions to support decarbonisation was announced by the UK government in August 2023. 4. Water. By reducing water consumption, organisations can tap into a quick win that gives a competitive advantage. Prioritising water conservation can bring cost savings and environmental benefits, but also help organisations meet regulatory objectives. Water conservation comes under Scope 3 emissions. Measuring these will soon be essential for compliance in the national effort to reach net zero by 2050. This means organizations that get a handle on their water consumption are one step closer to fulfilling sustainability obligations. Extreme weather events, such as flooding and rising sea levels, are linked to climate change. The vast amount of energy used to clean and pump water means the UK water industry contributes almost 1% of the country's total carbon emissions. So, reducing consumption is critical to achieving net zero and avoiding a climate catastrophe. While there is a shift in attitude towards the carbon footprint of organisations' water usage, how can savings be made in commercial environments? Quick wins are possible with minimal investment. For example, checking that metering is operating efficiently, fixing any leaks, and deploying simple efficiency fixtures, such as toilet cistern water displacement devices. Water audits can also reduce usage by up to 40%. Water's role in decarbonisation will become crystal clear. The importance of water to decarbonisation is now more widely recognised than at the beginning of 2023. Our latest research shows 82% of respondents have undertaken a water audit to reduce carbon emissions. So it's clear that more and more organisations are accounting for water in their decarbonisation strategies. Of organisations say they have a fully developed and implemented strategy to protect against extreme weather events. The facts: 25% of water supplied to business customers is lost in leaks. 4,000 memolitres reduction per day of water usage should be delivered by 2050, equivalent to 22 million bathtubs of water. Data centre cooling in business is hugely water intensive, with even a small 1 megawatt data centre using approximately 25.5 litres of water every year. 5. Energy generation. Prepare for the new energy mantra: reduce, flex, generate. In energy terms, things aren't going back to normal. The cost of energy isn't likely to fall to pre-pandemic levels, and the energy price instability we've seen recently will continue, with further energy crises every few years. As a result, more organizations will need to find ways to reduce their reliance on the national grid and lower their exposure to global energy market volatility. We predict many adopting a three-step approach to secure their energy supply. Reduce, firstly. The less energy organizations consume, the less vulnerable they are to sector volatility. So it makes sense to implement simple consumption reduction measures like LED and energy-saving light bulbs. Flex, secondly. Being flexible and agile in the response to the fluctuating energy market. This means an organization's consumption patterns will vary day to day, and even hour to hour, according to changing energy costs. While organizations are unlikely to shut down entire sites for hours at a time, a flexible response to the energy market will become more common. For example, retailers will close quiet stores an hour earlier to reduce power costs. Generate, thirdly. Investing in self-generation, as well as power purchase agreements, renewables, and battery solutions. For example, solar panels are now much more widely available, and more organizations will install them to reduce reliance on the national grid. It will only be a few more years before panels populate the last suitable rooftops. Ultimately, following the new energy mantra of reduce, flex, generate will help organizations withstand the complex energy market ahead. A culture of conscious consumption will take center stage. Last year, sustainability was indeed about conscious consumption. Smart meters, turning the lights off, and focusing on everyday habits. Awareness of the finite nature of energy is increasing, and organizations are adapting behaviors to conserve as much as possible. Under the Demand Flexibility Service, the government will incentivize organizations to reduce usage. Now more organizations are willing to sign up. Of organizations say they have adapted their energy consumption patterns and operations to take advantage of energy demand flexibility. The facts. Demand for energy has continued to grow on average 1.9% every year since 2000. Demand reduction can help the UK halve its emissions by 2050. 36% of businesses report investing in on-site generation to help them become more energy resilient, with solar being the most popular option. 6. Waste circular procurement will be a secret weapon when reducing waste. We'll see organisations act in a more proactive way, ensuring they're segregating and disposing of their waste correctly. The focus now should be on the circular economy, and that trickles down from the start of a product's life cycle right to the end. Much of this is mandatory in some parts of the country, such as the 4-bin segregation system in Wales. The legislation means that organisations failing to dispose of waste properly, as well as those failing to segregate, will be subject to fines. Investors are becoming more aware of the growing risks posed by plastic usage and waste production. Organisations failing to act will not only face financial penalties, but will struggle to attract and retain investment from those looking to support sustainability-led partners. There are ways organisations can get on top of this more easily. AI for waste management might be in its infancy, but we're seeing more organisations adopting technology that can help track, manage, and dispose of waste. Even more important is the need for a strategic, full-circle approach to waste management, and the conversation starts with procurement. It's thinking about how materials will be disposed of even as early as the procurement process. To encourage this, there needs to be more collaboration between procurement and disposal, part of what we call circular procurement. My advice is to consider what waste a product or material will generate as early as the procurement stage, and to understand how to segregate and dispose of it. Plastic recycling will become a profitable priority. Plastic consumption rates have been rising, but there must be more commitment to plastic recycling before this prediction can be said to have come true. Fortunately, there's much more demand for recycled plastic within packaging. However, delays to deposit return schemes, like in Scotland, have set back many recycled plastic initiatives. Waste management costs are rising, which is a huge concern for lots of organisations. So the question about plastic is more prominent than ever. Of organisations say they have a waste decarbonisation strategy, but that it needs further improvement. The facts. The amount of solid waste produced in the UK is likely to increase by 73% to 3.88 billion tonnes by 2050 if action to recycle is not taken. 185 investors wrote to the world's biggest grocery, retail and consumer goods companies to warn of the risks posed by continued use of plastics. An estimated 250,000 tonnes of UK plastic waste was mismanaged in 2023. 7. Transport. Despite issues with EV infrastructure, proceeding with confidence will be essential to meet transition deadlines. Organisations that have started to implement their EV transition are well placed compared to those who are hesitating. There are lots of legitimate concerns about how to roll out EVs effectively. Limited driving range, workplace charging port installations, the lack and cost of public charging and accessible charging for vans are all big worries. The lack of legislation detailing where infrastructure can go at a depot or a workplace, or how drivers should be reimbursed for charging and parking costs, is also becoming more of an issue. But globally, around half the vehicles on roads are operated by businesses. Figures for 2023 show 75% of new EV registrations are by organisations or fleet operators. So, organisations now have to think about solving these problems. For concerns regarding EV range, organisations should conduct assessments of their daily needs. Many electric vehicles do have sufficient range for everyday routes, and with advancements in battery technology, organisations can be assured that travelling ranges will continue to increase. By increasing the number of charging ports and other EV infrastructure on their sites, organisations can provide convenient and reliable charging stations. It's also possible to plan routes based on access to the growing charging network. There are several easily accessible websites and applications designed for this purpose. We're also seeing vehicle manufacturers struggle to share experience and knowledge with customers beyond the point of sale. To drive learnings and efficiencies, organizations need EV infrastructure analysis to be a continuous, strategic process. One-off consultations no longer make the cut. The new official deadline for EV transition has created some breathing space. Being panicked into rapid adoption may lead to the premature disposal of useful working tools in the process. To avoid this, organizations should use the extra time to audit existing assets, review the use and demand of their fleet, plan for anticipated future needs, decide on an EV strategy. Tardy organizations will get stuck in the EV fleet rush. This prediction holds true. Many organizations are only just realizing the importance of transitioning their fleets. In general, organizations aren't moving quickly enough. Operators are nervous about EVs compared to the range and capability of internal combustion engine vehicles. Concerns around the logistics of charging, storing, and maintenance are causing delays in many organizations' transitions. Plus, electric truck manufacturers have also been slow to market. Despite these issues, and the ban on internal combustion engines being pushed back 5 years, it doesn't mean organizations should delay EV fleet transition. Of organizations, cite charging costs as the biggest barrier to switching to a fully electric fleet. The facts: 800,000 EVs have been registered in the UK since 2018, on track to reach 18% market share by the end of 2023. 2035 is the new cutoff for the sale of newly manufactured diesel and petrol cars in the UK. Two-thirds of drivers want to go electric, but are held back by lack of incentives and infrastructure. 8. Nature. The business case for biodiversity net gain will grow stronger than ever. Nature recovery is key to reaching net zero, but while many organizations view themselves as nature positive, there are still very few that have implemented enough green infrastructure, such as parks, woodland, and green walls. This year, we're encouraging a phased approach to integrating these natural spaces to make costs more manageable. That means providing costed roadmaps to delivering a measured increase in biodiversity. These can be rolled out across multiple financial years. There's a business case for nature recovery as it improves the well-being, health, and productivity of people working in these buildings and environments. Research also shows increased footfall with retail and hospitality through enhancing customer experience, and improving biodiversity is one way to do so. Commercial businesses are leading the way and will see more action over the next year. That means more living walls, sustainable urban drainage systems like rain gardens, and more urban trees and parklets to help with water management, temperature moderation, air cleaning, and recreation. Biodiversity gain will feature more heavily in net zero considerations. Decision makers will prioritize nature recovery, and having realized the business case for measuring biodiversity net gain, they'll take a vested interest in that too. No matter how complex your organization, there are always opportunities for nature recovery. Begin by building a biodiversity strategy and assessing nature-related risks and impacts, as well as identifying opportunities for green infrastructure. Making a start could be as simple as adding leafy plants and trees to your office. 2023 prediction review. Enhancing biodiversity will take root to become a legal requirement. This prediction was almost true for 2023 and will be true in 2024. Legislation for local planning authorities to ensure that new housing, commercial and industrial developments have 10% biodiversity net gain has been pushed back until the start of 2024. But this legislation has raised awareness for what needs to be achieved, how it can be achieved, and how to measure progress. We're having more conversations with customers about moving from biodiversity theory to practice, which means increased commissions for baselining and net gain installation. Of sustainability decision makers with net zero reduction targets, see their organization's strategy as nature positive. The facts: 50% of the global GDP is at risk if nature degradation is not reversed before 2030. 29% of businesses who report on biodiversity efforts have board or executive level oversight for nature-related activities. 5% of companies globally assess their impact on nature, biodiversity, and the environment. Data organizations laying the groundwork for smarter data collection and benchmarking will be better prepared for the energy market of the future. Historically, a lot of benchmarks created a static line in the sand. But with changes to building usage since the pandemic, benchmarks have needed to become much more dynamic. Dynamic benchmarking covers a number of areas, including benchmarking across your own estate, categorizing buildings by size and type, and benchmarking sites against each other. The biggest difference is that the benchmark data is updated in real time, or much more often than once or twice a year. It provides a more accurate, relevant, and responsive understanding of how buildings are using energy. Combined with exception reporting, setting expectations for how buildings should perform, and targeting the areas that perform below those expectations, this is an effective way to spot opportunities and inefficiencies. To really get ahead, organizations need to go beyond collecting only the data that they absolutely need, like energy volumes and meter readings. They must start collecting as full a dataset as possible. It's also important to examine the frequency of data collected. Establishing a dynamic energy use benchmark for your buildings requires datasets to be updated in real time, certainly much more often than just once or twice a year. In doing so, an accurate picture of how buildings are using energy will emerge, revealing opportunities and inefficiencies such as impact of technologies like on-site generation, what should and shouldn't be turned off to reduce energy consumption, how to plan for days without much wind or sun when grid prices soar. Through comprehensive data collection, proactive organizations will become truly agile. Faced with the volatile energy market of the future, they'll know whether to use or store their energy on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis, based on what matters most to them, be that price or carbon emissions. A culture of conscious consumption will take center stage. See Energy Generation, Section 5. A culture of conscious consumption will take center stage. Of organizations, cite lack of standardized reporting frameworks as a major difficulty of carbon and energy data reporting, while 35% see data silos and disparate systems as a problem. The facts 60% of UK organizations were found to be unlikely to meet Scope 3 emissions reporting required under the EU's Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive. Electricity produced by new renewable energy projects is expected to be up to 7 times cheaper than that generated by gas-powered plants by 2030. 35% of organizations surveyed by Mighty said they accelerated their decarbonization timelines in 2023. Source: Mighty commissioned survey of 100 respondents at senior manager level and above with responsibility for corporate sustainability in companies of 1,000 plus employees. Let's talk further. We're here to help you accelerate progress and navigate towards net zero across carbon reporting, energy, strategy, waste, EV transition, and more, whether that's quick wins or long-term strategies. Simply fill in the form and we'll be in touch.